I'm Blake Hardcastle. This is the Stories You've Missed podcast.
Welcome back to Stories You've Missed. These are accounts of God's amazing grace in the lives of ordinary people at Grand Parkway Baptist Church. Today, my guests are Pat and Bert Preston, and we're going to talk about engaging in missions. Now, Pat and Bert have been married for 33 years. They have three adult children and one grandchild, and I guess you're hoping that would increase that.
Yes.
That demographic? Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bert grew up in Michigan and moved to Houston shortly after high school. She's worked in the defense industry for over three decades. Pat lived in Houston for all of his life, except for the very first year, which was spent in the wonderful world of Kansas. And he has worked in oil and gas. They've been at Grand Parkway for 13 years, and they serve in kids ministry, teaching them about missions. So welcome, Pat and Bert.
Thank you.
My first question, I didn't give this to you to prepare for. How did you guys meet?
Wow. Okay. Do you want me to take that?
I'll be happy to take that.
We met at the Midnight Rodeo at a nightclub in Houston.
Now, are there actually farm animals? That's just what the place is called.
That's what it's called.
Okay. Got it. All right.
No, the only farm animals are misbehaved people.
Okay. Okay.
But no, it was a nightclub. And
yeah.
We were introduced by a good friend of his,
okay.
And it was a new acquaintance of mine.
All right.
And
so you had a matchmaker.
We did. And so I first impressions were not good, I will say. So I was just a little, yeah.
He was too tall. He was too loud.
He looked like a man on drugs.
Oh, okay.
Long hair.
Oh.
And just.
Now, what year was this, by the way? Maybe he was just super middle of fashion.
It was 1988.
So maybe he had like heavy metal rocker hair?
Okay, you could call it that. Interesting. And I was like, yeah. He goes, hey, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
Name is Pat, you know? And I was like, no.
Okay.
Oh, nice to meet you. And I said, okay, I got to go.
Yeah, okay.
But I will say that... a couple months later, maybe a couple of weeks later, I guess, went back to the Minette Rodeo on one evening, and our friend came back and said, you know, hey, I want to reintroduce you to my friend.
He had a haircut?
I said, oh, which friend?
Okay.
And he looked different.
He did?
Yes. He didn't look like he was on drugs. He looked very normal. His hair was curly.
Oh
yeah. Permed up hair.
Same guy?
Same guy.
Okay. Different lighting or just, no, just different guy?
No, just completely.
Okay.
Like he went home and had a bath or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Just different.
Now, let me press pause here. Can you verify any of the details of this?
They're all true.
Okay.
So just from there, he was just very much a gentleman, and we danced and we chatted. And I said, wow, this guy can really dance. That was really great.
Okay.
He's a dancer. And
I had some skills.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, and that's kind of what began our relationship.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about missions. So how have you experienced God's grace when it comes to missions? You know, you mentioned first... meeting Pat, not that excited about it. Second meeting, I'm very interested now. When did that similar shift happen for you when it comes to missions? Was there a time where you're like, and now I can't stop thinking about it?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. The first year, my son had mentioned, hey, Mom, there is a Costa Rica mission trip, and he was pretty excited about it and says, I can't be at the meeting. Would you please go to the meeting for me? And I would love to go.
This is here at Grand Parkway, a trip?
At Grand Parkway.
Okay. And about how many years ago?
Ryan was a junior in high school.
Yeah. I'm going to say it was probably about 12 years ago or something.
Okay, 12 years ago. So you had been here maybe a little over a year, and you go to this meeting, son.
Yeah, I go to this meeting, and I was like, yeah, that's not for me. He's lost.
Did you go, Pat, or just Bert did?
No, I didn't go. I know Bert went for Ryan, and Ryan was really interested in it.
Okay.
And So I kind of held out. I didn't know, you know, I didn't know what I had to offer. But when I went the year after Ryan and Bert went.
Not to Costa Rica on the trip. Okay.
Yeah. And actually when I went, Ryan had been down there for, he had been down there for a month, 2 months.
Well, press pause on that. So now, Ryan, you go to the meeting. It's not for you. You tell Ryan about it. He does go that year or not?
He does not go that year.
Okay.
I told him he had lost his mind.
Oh.
Okay. I said, yeah, Ryan, I don't know. He says, well, Mom, you know, it's something that we should probably consider. He said, well, if we can't do this year, you know, let's think about next year. And okay. I was like, yeah, no, this is nuts. But the main thing for me was I had resistance, right? And it was because I really didn't, what could I possibly offer?
It was more of, I've got nothing.
I've okay. got, what can I possibly offer? I do not.
You weren't against the gospel going to Costa Rica or our church going.
It was me.
Okay.
It was me. What could I possibly offer?
You'd be taking the place of someone who should be there.
Absolutely.
Actually getting something done.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I really didn't believe that I had anything to offer. And so here's what the enemy was telling me was, you haven't memorized the Bible, Bert. You should not go down there. You have no business being down there. So that whole next year, I think the Lord just really, I got a little silent, right? It was not much. But when it came around like the October, November timeframe, I really felt the Lord poking me again.
About?
Going to this mission trip. And okay. I said, they have not announced it, so I don't know why you're poking me, right? And I really felt him poking me more and more. And
what did that feel like? How did you experience that?
Just the constant in my head,
okay.
Costa Rica
thinking
mission
about
trip
it,
coming
bringing
up.
It to your
yes.
attention. Yeah.
And
okay.
I really think it was just during the day. I was in my head.
Okay.
I thought, what?
Yeah.
I said, they haven't even announced it.
Yeah.
Lord, what are you doing? But come January, they would normally do all the
right.
announcements on the summer mission trips. And, so guess what? In January it was announced and I kept hearing it over and over again. And I said, okay, I went and I actually, I went up to a pastor who was actually, the one who was, you know, going through having the meeting
yeah.
for us. And I said, okay, I have a question. He said, yes. I don't have the Bible memorized. What could I possibly have
now,
to
when you
offer?
Say that, you mean the whole Bible?
Yeah.
Okay.
That
All
was
right.
the enemy telling me I needed to have it memorized.
Did anyone else tell you that or just the enemy?
Just the enemy.
Okay, you hadn't heard that. I was just making sure that's not an expectation I didn't know I was missing. Okay, all right.
No, I still don't have the Bible memorized.
Okay,
but no, it was the enemy just telling me that I really had to know it. To speak it and be there and help people.
Yeah.
So he says, no, you don't have to have the Bible memorized. He says, you speak Spanish? I do. And he said, well, you know, if you don't mind hiking and, you know, taking this long walk and just sharing the gospel. And I said, okay, Lord, I know what you're doing. And I signed up to go.
Okay. Now, Pat, what did you think about that when...
I was all for it.
Okay.
I was like, you know, definitely.
All for her, not for her going, not you.
Well, yeah, because I was kind of in the same boat. I was like, I don't know Spanish. I can't come up with a verse to save my life if I needed to at any point in time.
Right.
And I was just like, yeah, y'all go, and you know, we'll see. They did go.
Yeah.
And when they got back, they were telling me all about it. And I was just like,
they were excited.
I was very intrigued. I was like, yeah,
okay.
This is awesome. After that first year that they went, they had invited Ryan to go down as an intern for two
And Ryan's
two
your
months.
Son. Okay.
Yeah, he's our middle son. And so he decided to do it. And we would talk back and forth.
Does he speak Spanish?
Yes.
A little bit. A lot more than me.
Okay.
I don't speak a lick of Spanish.
Okay.
And it was, I was on that edge of going the next year. And then knowing Ryan was there, he had called me and he goes, hey, are you coming down? And I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to go this year.
Okay.
And it was one of those things, cause we were talking on, iPod,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, phones and all.
Yeah.
And, he said, hey, don't tell mom, but I got a special thing I want you to do. And I was like, oh, okay, what is it? And he goes, I want you to baptize me here in Costa Rica.
Now let me pause. Are secrets and surprises a big thing in your family?
No? he just wanted to surprise
you. Okay, so he's down there as an intern. He's like, he had not been baptized yet.
Had not been baptized.
I want to get baptized. And Bert, he knew you were coming back down.
Yes, actually, I had actually suggested to the pastors that we have a baptism down there. There's a river that runs around the reservation.
Okay.
And I thought it would be wonderful.
And this is the Guaymay Indians.
The Guaymay Indians.
Who we're ministering to. Mm-hmm. And a baptism for those who become believers, the Guaymay?
The Guaymay,
okay.
Yeah. And some of Grand Parkway people as well.
Okay. We have people from our church who had not been baptized.
Yes.
Okay. And so he says to you, hey, I got a fun surprise. What do you think? And you say?
I told him, I said, I don't think I can do that because I haven't been baptized.
Okay.
So that got me to thinking a little bit more. And so we both had a surprise for Bert because we both ended up getting baptized down there in Costa Rica.
So and now on this trip, this would be going to be your second trip to Costa Rica. Is that right, Bert?
It was the third trip.
Third, okay.
I think it was our second. I think it was my third trip.
Okay, and this would be your first time down there?
My first trip.
And we're going to have a baptism. And so how does it happen? You know, kind of play it out for us where she doesn't know what's going to happen. And then what is she? Well, I'll ask you, Bert.
Yeah.
How did you experience this?
I was excited, thrilled, and like, wow, okay, so it's not just me, and which I was okay with it just being me if it was me because I really wanted to profess, you know, my faith in front of all those Guaymay Indians. Yeah.
We had a pastor from our church representing Grand Parkway, officiating the baptism.
Actually,
down
it was
there.
Bart.
Bart and Wade Collier was there.
And Wade Collier.
Okay. And then. And so we have a baptism service down there, in part for the Guaymay to see this, right? And so how many people got baptized that day? Do you remember?
There was about eight.
You're past looking for a picture.
Past looking for a picture. He got a picture. There was about eight or nine of us that got baptized.
Okay. And you got baptized before they did?
Yes.
Okay.
And I was the first one.
And Bart baptized you. Okay, and then, so how did you experience Pat getting baptized?
Well, when he told me, it was that I think it was that morning he had told me that he was going to get baptized as well. So I was pretty excited.
Okay.
So it was just amazing, and my son. So.
So you knew. But you didn't know he was going to, or you knew that morning, this is what's going to happen. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she didn't know anything about it until we were actually down there on the reservation.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. And on that trip, you weren't just going to be baptized. You had been before, Bert. And so you had done translating, engaging with the locals.
Yes.
Pat, now what was the role you were doing on the trip?
Well, I joked about it there for a while that I was I was being the mule because I was carrying all the baggage and stuff down to the reservation.
Okay.
But one of our tasks for the men's part of the group, we were down there putting water lines from the river on the top of the mountain into the villages so they would have flowing water into each one of the houses.
Otherwise, so you're creating piping.
Yeah, and they had done it the year before. Actually, the 2 years before, they had been in the process of putting the water lines down. And then we were just, you know, finishing up certain sections into the different villages with with the houses.
Without those lines or previous to them being installed, how did people have to navigate water? In their homes,
they would have to either walk down to the river or up the mountain some to the river and basically just carry buckets
bucket
of
by
water.
Bucket. Yeah. Okay.
No, they're usually the women.
Yeah, it was no one the women.
Yeah. No. The so how many times total have you guys gone
Oh, these are tricky questions.
A tricky.
I want to say.
Did some feel like three or four? Is that why it's tricky?
No, okay. I think it was 9 years.
Yeah, I went 7 times during the summer with our, you know, the youth group that would go. And then I did five or six with the men's group in February. So I went twice a year. I went to do the actual construction.
That was the February trip. Okay.
And then during the summer trip, we would finish water lines and then any kind of, you know, little construction projects that we would have.
Okay. And so you're going twice a year. Do you tell your job, your employer, your coworkers, here's what I'm doing, or you keep it a secret?
No, I tell them straight up. I'll walk in there and tell them, say, look, I need vacation from this time to this time. Oh, okay. Well, where are you going? I'm going to Costa Rica. Oh, you're going on a mission trip. Yep. And never had an issue. They would sign off on it and they would know I was gone.
Yeah.
And they knew they couldn't get a hold of me.
What's changed in you as a result of, you know, this kind of invitation by God to engage in missions? How has he changed you through this?
It's opened me up to be more open talking to people. Because basically, and it's like the sign says when you drive out of the parking lot here, once you leave this parking lot, you're on missions. So everybody you come in contact with, I mean, you have that capability of swaying their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
So you just, you know, you're more open to talking to different people.
A believer's always on a mission trip.
Exactly.
I think the scripture talks about we're kind of between two worlds. We don't really belong here. We belong to the coming kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so everywhere we go here, we actually are on missions. Okay. But what about you? How has it changed in you? How has God shaped you and made you more like Christ through this experience?
Oh, my goodness. So he really showed me compassion.
Okay.
And to me, like working in the industry that I work in, it's tough. It's tough mentality, you know, just, you know, very business, very, mm-hmm. very strict requirements and such. So moving into a Christian relationship, right? A relationship with God softened all that up.
Mm.
I was the huge control freak, you know, as that type of industry I work in, where here, it really had, it softened me up. It really did. It allowed me to have conversations with people. The priority, what is more important? So for me, work was the most important thing. Not anymore. And so do I still go to work every day? You bet. Right. Do I mix in a whole lot of Christian talk in there? You betcha. Every ear that will hear me. So it did. It allowed me to, have a passion for I have a passion for like a women. I feel like it's women like of different culture, like mm-hmm. Hispanic culture. That's kind of what I'm feeling. But so I get really excited when I hear about mission trips, you know, down where like the Guaymi Indians or something, because it softened my heart up a lot.
You becoming softer heart-wise, mm-hmm. did this make you a less valuable employee in the defense industry?
No.
Okay.
No. It has... just showed me that I don't have to be that. My nickname was Dragon Lady.
Now, is that where you came from, work or from?
From work.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it was not that.
Dragon Lady. Okay.
That's what they called me.
So you're fire breathing.
I was just
yes
by the book requirement. Okay. And
People may be scared to tell you, we're not going to make our numbers this week, this month.
Yeah, or I can't do this, or I did something wrong. Yeah, no. So absolutely, that really changed me. So I'm no longer known as Dragon Lady.
Okay.
Those days are behind me. It's allowed me to see people differently. Hmm. It's allowed me to see people, to mentor them,
yeah.
Walk alongside them, walk them through issues.
Yeah.
And so that has helped me in that respect. Even in my day-to-day job now, I mentor people work-wise and gentle, being kind. And I wasn't always so kind.
Right.
So
right.
Now it just taught me how to be kind to people. And so now they're like, gosh, Roy, you're a great person. Oh, thank you. But that's not what I'm looking for. But thank you for that.
Right.
And
so, part of what I hear in this is that for the sake of his name, God was doing something in you in Costa Rica. So he would be doing something in you, here in Texas. And that his, his name needed to be honored both continents. And how has this impacted your family, missions in general?
Oh, gosh. Well, our kids, my one son, Ryan, he'd been down there, et cetera, and he loves it. And his wife, who was his girlfriend at the time, also went down and spent a summer with us, or a summer trip going down. And so she, but she also comes from, her dad's a pastor as well from up in East Texas. But they are family of missions. So it's exciting because my kids know, and I still hope and pray that they too will do mission, you know, and I remind them daily, your mission trip could be here.
At your here job. Meaning
at your work,
local. Really close to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Outside your home.
Yeah.
In your home.
Yeah.
At work, you bet.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, most people, the majority of the time they're going to spend with other people is going to be in a work context.
Mm-hmm.
And for us to begin to see that as my most normal, predominant missions experience, that's probably what would be helpful to the kingdom and to us. I'm curious, how did you become fluent in Spanish?
I'm Mexican.
You got Mexicans in Michigan?
They have a lot of Mexicans.
How'd they get up there?
Oh my gosh. My parents moved up there when they were first married. When dad moved up, mom was born in Mexico. And so she had to get her papers after they got married. And dad was born in Hebronville area. And so they moved to Michigan because that's where they had all the cherry picking and all that work. And so dad moved from that to construction.
Okay.
And that's just where we were all, there was eight of us kids born in Michigan.
They spoke Spanish at home?
At home. That's all we spoke at home.
Okay. What concerns you about missions today?
Oh, not enough of it. Well, with COVID, right? Because I think COVID has really caused a lot of fear in people. And so I feel that, if we haven't, we meaning, God's people out there still spreading the gospel, it's not happening. And the people are just reclusing into their homes and into their hearts. And I think that we need to get back out there because I think that this pandemic has just caused a lot of fear.
Yeah.
And
the, what have you experienced God do, in and through to this church community you're part of, this church family? How has this family been impacted through missions?
Oh my goodness.
Go ahead. I'm thinking. It's great because you see, we've seen some of the mission trips that we do have, and you see just everybody, there's a lot of different people that go on to different missions. And it's not just going on the mission itself because, one thing that was told to us when I first started was, there's people behind the scenes as well. Whether it's praying for you, all different aspects. And I think, it's definitely the church has gotten behind every mission that we've been on, you know, yeah. whether it's praying for people or helping people do this or whatever it mm-hmm. is. And it's been really good.
On the trips you've been on, have there been people that you didn't know before that you got to meet and got to know and maybe even enjoyed?
Definitely. Definitely. The first time I went on the men's trip to Costa Rica, I think I knew two of them really well. I mean, Dennis Scott and yeah. Brian McKee. I knew them, but some of the other ones I'd either seen or met mm-hmm. before, but didn't really know.
Yeah.
And being down there for a week building things, you grow close to them
yeah.
and you develop a bond and a relationship yeah. with them. And you see them now and it's just like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. you meet all kinds of people on yeah. mission trips. And, you know, one of the things I remember being down there in Costa Rica, like I said, I know nothing in Spanish. And they know no English.
You don't
English.
Speak Spanish in your house? Bert doesn't...
I know enough Spanish I know enough to get me by. I know like milk and table and stuff like this.
Now, we'll just pretend it's just you and me talking.
Okay.
If sometimes, you know, way back a long time ago, if the Dragon Lady came home, would she speak Spanish and yell at you?
I don't remember. All I know is if somebody spoke Spanish at the time, I think I needed to leave because I didn't know what was being said. But in Costa Rica, you know, they don't know English and I didn't know Spanish.
Yeah.
But over that 5 or 6 years that I had been down there, plus during the summer trips, we mm-hmm. had developed a relationship with the men down there that mm-hmm. even though we couldn't verbally communicate,
right.
we could communicate.
Yeah.
Body
language and all the rest.
Body
yeah.
language and just kind of.
And they would have seen you for 6 months and then you would be again.
And it was like we had.
It wasn't cold
left.
Shoulder, yeah.
No, they would come up and yeah. say, you know, give you a hug. You yeah. know, I mean, it was really cool. You know?
I think that's one of the things that always happens that usually surprises people is how close you become to some people on the trip, and mm-hmm. then people you're ministering to, mm-hmm. and sometimes you experience a very miniature grief when it's over, that a little sadness you're leaving, and I think it's one of the beautiful things where. In a church our size, you can kind of have these perpetually casual, high and by at the door relationships that really become significant when we spend time together in this kind of context. Bert, is there anything you'd add to that? Is what you've experienced as far as engaging with people?
Yeah, you definitely develop a relationship, especially the trip we went on to Costa Rica. We went to the same village. Mm-hmm. For all that time. So you establish these friendship relationship type where they see you coming and they're just excited. They know that what time of year it is and they're expecting to see you.
Yeah.
And so it was beautiful to have that where they, you know, some would invite you into their homes and sometimes mm-hmm. they would say thing, just talk. Now, keeping in mind, not all of them spoke Spanish, but the Spanish they spoke was like Costa Rican dialect mm-hmm, of Spanish. Mm-hmm. But the majority of the older ladies and men really spoke their native language,
okay.
which was Ngobi,
okay.
and I understood nothing of that.
Okay.
So sometimes silence was good, and it was just knowing you were there, a hug.
Mm-hmm.
So it was these ladies... just doing summer with them 1 week, doing crafts, mm-hmm. Teaching them things mm-hmm. and sharing scripture and sharing the gospel with them. You develop relationships
mm-hmm.
and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It just, I loved it. So leaving there was a little yeah. bit of a grief. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
One thing I wanted to add to that, just to show you the relationships that, especially with Bert, that she had with the women there. When we would go down for the men's trip, you know, like I said, this was 6 months later.
Yeah.
The men would all show up at the village, and the women would come down, and they'd say, Berta, she's not here. She's not here this time. And so they're like, oh, man. You know, so
Would you raise your hand? I'm her husband and get special treatment? Or
no. But, you know, it was really, you know, really cool because you would see that relationship that she had developed with them. Mm-hmm. And they were asking for her. And she's not here this time.
Yeah. So. You told me about, you know, probably one of the most thrilling times with this baptism experience. Were there some, like, hardships where, well, I can't believe we lived through that? Any dangers or any?
For me, none of the real dangers. You know, we've got to, you know, got the amount of rain that comes down. It's rainy season in July when we
slipping
would go.
Slipping and falling.
And so... Oh, yeah, there was that. I did have...
It is a rainforest. The reservations. So it's a reservation in Costa Rica. This is not like around the resorts or anything like that.
No.
You're
in the mountains.
And you would see the rainstorms coming...
Across the mountain.
Across the mountain. And you're like, yeah, it's about 5-10 minutes away. And then it would be a downpour to, you know, it would... There was water standing all over by the time it was done.
So one, I will give you one example of, man, I'm so glad this trip is over, but on one trip, we were going to, one of the pastors lived back, I don't know, it seemed like a very dark, well, felt dark. If, you know, you feel it spiritually in where his house were. The houses were very poor. They were like, sticks, bamboo sticks,
for walls,
for posts on the ends.
Okay,
I mean, the walls. There was really, it was more of a
branches.
Like woven branches,
yeah, like thatch,
and like a thatch roof or a
tin roof.
Some of them would have tin roofs. Some of them would have thatch roofs.
Okay.
But I mean, there was no. It was the branches that they would make for their walls would come up to maybe a little above your waist.
Okay.
And then from there to the roof, it was open.
Open, yeah.
So, I mean, there was no real...
No windows or
no
anything.
Windows.
It was, everything was open.
And it was dirt floors.
Yeah.
So one of the pastors there in the village, they had needed a new roof because his home was being leaked. Now, granted, his home was against the mountainside. So whenever the downpours occurred, not if, it's when and how often, the mud would go into his home and everything would have to be off the ground. I mean, you couldn't have anything because their ground was dirt, right? So we at least wanted to help by protecting what was inside their home. So we bought some of that corrugated roof, roofing tin, and we headed that way as a team. We went the night before or day before to look at the location of the home, what was needed. The next day, the materials came in. Mm-hmm. Off we go, all our team. And it was teenagers, everything, male and female. It's great, great teamwork. We went back towards the home, and I was leading the team, and I looked down, and I put my foot on a rock, which was dry, and I put my foot on another rock. It was dry, and... My hands were full. I slipped and went straight down. And I thought, what is happening? I couldn't break my fall. Mm-hmm. And I fell and hit my chin and a big rock on my right rib cage. And I heard pop, 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 pop up down my neck. And I was just immediately praying, Lord, if my neck is broke, not today, not here. I have no hospital. What would I do? Oh my gosh. So I'm just praying immediately. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, help me and help me get up. And they said, what happened? I don't know what happened. That was, it wasn't water over the rocks. It wasn't slippery. They were dry. I get up. So, okay, thank you, Lord. I can move my neck. I am good.
I hit your chin. Are you gushing blood?
Nothing.
No.
Under nothing. It was very bizarre.
Yeah.
I get up and I start walking and I walk towards the house and we put the materials down and we walk up to, it's like, again, on the side of the mountain. Mm-hmm. So you hike up just a little bit and there was the house. And as I go up and all the team is up there, we begin disassembling the roof and removing the materials. And I had one foot up on a hillside and one down, and we're just, you know, moving the tin roof off and getting ready to bring in the other. And again, unsure how, unsure why, I slipped, and my rib cage hit that part of the kind of
steps.
So it's like an off step of mm-hmm. the mountainside, mm-hmm. and I fell and hit that same spot where that rock hit on my rib. And everybody's like, "What just happened to you?" Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I
did you get put in missionary timeout after that?
They put me in, they put me in timeout. They're like, "Bert, you should go have a seat." And I'm like, "Wow, I have just created a mess here. What happened?" Uh-huh. And then they came up. How did you do that? I don't know. Hmm. And Bart told me, "Well, I'm not sure if you know, but in that house next to us, there's that lady. You see that lady right there?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, she's a witch. Mm-hmm. I said, "Well, that kind of felt like what was happening. It was spiritual,
yeah.
or spiritual,
yeah.
right? Attacks, definitely, which caused the second, which was my second fall of that day within 30 minutes. And when I told them, well, that's kind of my second fall, they're like, you fell before this? Hmm. Yes. And same spot. And anyways, after my team was able to, or I call my team, the team,
yeah.
was able to do what they were doing and finish the job. And I slowly walked down and I began to feel the pain. Hmm. And anyway, lots of ibuprofen later.
Mm-hmm. That was on like the second day of the trip.
Okay. Yeah. You're not it going was, home.
No, for
that was
several
days. Second day of the trip. Yeah. So we still had 5 days left.
You got some more hiking to do.
Yes, yeah. up and down the mountain where we were staying. To this, yeah. So it was very slow walking for mm-hmm. Bert. Bert doesn't walk super fast anyway, so that made it extra slow. And a lot of ibuprofen. So thank yeah. God Pat was there to help me in and out of my clothes yeah. because it became very difficult.
Yeah.
Came home on that Friday, Saturday. I was so excited just to lay in my bed. Mm-hmm. And when I got up Saturday morning, I couldn't move. Hmm. And that was, couldn't move. Pat says, we're going to the emergency room.
Okay.
And I had cracked ribs.
And a sprained wrist.
A sprained wrist. No broken pieces on my neck. Thank yeah. you, Jesus, yeah. for that. And, yeah. So, there. And, of course, they said, started asking all questions.
Right,
so,
right.
I got to share a little bit about my mission trip
right.
with the doctors. So, it was exciting there as well.
Yeah. So. Costa Rica is sometimes known for coffee.
Mm.
Great coffee
yes.
there?
Yes.
Great coffee. Okay. You can drink coffee all day long and not keep you, it's not going to keep you awake at night, that's for sure.
Yeah. You mentioned that some of the Guayame were pastors.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did that occur? Where, these are still kind of are they a reached people group? Are they still unreached as far as number of converts and pastors?
Well, they, Bart had spent, Bart and Heather had spent a lot of time, many years down there working with the pastors mm-hmm. and preparing them. And so they went from not having anybody or not even knowing Christ to multiple pastors in multiple okay. villages.
So this is a group that has their kind of own language, separated geographically. They're mm-hmm. you're a very small, relatively speaking, people group. And so they've been reached enough where persons have come to faith, come to believe,
yes.
and had some amount of training where they can teach others. And is that a good bit of some of the trips we've done is equipping and training?
Yes, mm-hmm. definitely. So we were only able to do that a couple of times a year for Grand Parkway, but having Bart and Heather there, were able to just be walking alongside them
yeah.
and in a constant state of mission with them and being
gotcha.
There with them.
They lived there. They stayed
absolutely.
There for years. Now, our church is taking a trip in about a month
yes.
to Costa Rica once again. It's been a long time since we've been there,
mm-hmm.
and we certainly couldn't go because of COVID. Especially protecting the Indians on the reservation there. And you're going?
Yes.
Bert, are you going, Pat?
No.
Okay.
Not this time.
And what's happening on this trip?
Oh, my goodness. So...
did you memorize the Bible by now?
Oh, no.
Okay, all right. But you didn't need to.
You know,
all right.
I will tell you the Lord has revealed to me in many ways. Bert, that's not what I'm asking.
Okay.
I just want you to be willing, and that's what I became. And so now every time I hear Costa Rica mission trip, my heart flutters. I'm really excited to get back down there. So this time, a small group of men and women are going to, the men are going to teach the book of Romans to the pastors.
Okay.
And the women we're going to have a separate group, and we're going to teach the pastors' wives The Book
teach
of
them
Romans.
Book of Romans. Okay.
Yes.
So it really isn't a training, equipping trip.
Yes.
For the guys who are pastors, mm-hmm. who, you know, these guys, they don't have access to seminary.
Right.
They hardly have access to the internet. Certainly not in their language. There's not Bible training.
They do have phones.
They have, okay. but probably what will come out of this is they when thou teach and preach the Book of Romans mm-hmm. to their people.
Yes.
And similarly, the pastor's wives, well, you know, as the Bible tells us to talk about these things, all aspects of life, they're engaging people from the Book of Romans as well.
Yeah.
So part of that means you have been preparing mm-hmm. the team. So a team of ladies, they're going to teach the pastor's wives.
And I'm hoping other ladies show up because once they know we're there, more will come. So I'm hoping we're there. The Lord
so
will.
So when you're there, are you the Americans? Like what's, you know, you're unusual. There aren't Americans there all the time, are there?
I think more and more through the years we have seen Americans, but through COVID, definitely it was shut off.
Yeah.
People were not allowed on the reservation.
And so there'll be a novelty, and so people might just come and want to be there to see. Now you call it gringos? What do you call it by them?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what they call us other than, and we have familiar faces. They already know in advance that some of them are coming down. So they may just get word of mouth. I mean, there's a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
There's lots of talk.
Yeah.
So they may know we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be a lot of the ones that were kids when we were there that are now
grown up.
Grown up. Wow. I'm excited to see that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm excited to see
That's
that.
One of the, you know, blessings of going to a similar place for a long time mm-hmm. is you get to see the fruit of what you've done
mm-hmm. yeah.
versus just going and just doing a one-time drop and leave. So Romans, you're going to teach the whole thing?
We're going to be fluid, right?
Okay.
We know that the intent is the Book of Romans, and we are going to just, I would imagine it would have been a couple of years without good gospel sharing among women. So I am fluid. I am open to, yes, do we have to teach a Book of Romans? You bet. But more so is sharing Christ again with them because of the fear that they've had in their hearts. I'm sure they're going to have a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they do.
Yeah.
What I don't want them to do is to be shut out, not say anything.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that the whatever comes about, that mm-hmm. we just be ready to share with them what we need to share. So we're just asking that the Lord just provide opportunity.
Yeah.
Women to come and not just the pastor's wives, because I really would love to do a round table, just sit with them and mm-hmm. chat with them, have coffee and share Christ and see kind of what has been going on with them as mm-hmm. what I would love to know personally since the 2 years that they've been shut into their reservation and not allowed to leave.
Yeah.
So I'm sure lots has stirred up.
Yeah.
And so I would be excited to just hear that. But we're studying for the Book of Romans in case that is exactly what we're supposed to be teaching. And if not, we'll just be fluid and do whatever the Lord wants us to do.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that being on mission, you have to be. You can't, even though you have an agenda to mm-hmm. go, you just have to be fluid because you never know where that mm-hmm. path is going to go. So, I mean, just to kind of go back and mm-hmm. with the trips that we did, we had agendas that we wanted to get on there, but something would come up, and so we would take that path wherever it led us, and you know, you just go with it.
Yeah, you need to have a plan, mm-hmm. and you need to know that the plan
can change.
Will
change on the spur of the moment.
Yes. Yeah.
So the village that we're going to is La Casona, and that is at the bottom of the reservation, just as you go into the reservation. So the village we were going as a group, as a team, is in Cope Abajo, which is further up the mountain. And so we are not going that far, but when we did some of our medical missions mm-hmm. years back before we stopped going, the people would come down to La Casona, one, because they knew we were there, but to get treatment.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, I'm excited to just get back there, right?
Yeah.
And just see what the Lord is wanting us to do there.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping it opens up more.
And so you guys God changed you from missions is probably not for us, definitely not this trip, to almost greedily, selfishly.
Get me back there.
Yeah. Just so everybody knows, I'm on every single trip, just so you know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
How would you explain that experience of grace from God to a little kid, to a 10-year-old?
Wow. So I would say a 10-year-old. I would probably say just show them your kindness. Show them who God made you to be. Don't be embarrassed to share Christ. Mm-hmm. And to just be willing, have an open heart. Show them who you are. Show mm-hmm. them who you are in Christ mm-hmm. and what he did for you. Yeah. And just be an act of kindness is where it starts.
Okay. I mean to mention, so you have an open Bible here.
I do.
And it looks like it's open to something highlighted.
Oh, there's highlights all over this Bible. This is my mission Bible.
Yeah. So you have a missions Bible.
I do.
What does that mean?
This Bible has gone with me to Costa Rica. It looks pretty kind of frayed there, okay. kind of like expanded. Because it's so humid in Costa Rica when we go, that paper really kind of loses its...
Okay. Now, for the listeners, this is not a small little thing you fit in your pocket.
No.
It looks like it could weigh about 2-3 pounds. I mean, yes. It's, you know, big old, and it's got big prints. It's a big old, you know, pulpit Bible. Why is this your missions Bible?
Because when you're there, I mean, we have to, when we share Christ, we're sharing scripture and they want to see sometimes too. So, I have sat with them a few times and just sharing and then, and just translating it in Spanish, what scripture says, on many occasions. So it's been my Bible where I've just, shared.
Yeah.
And it's shared well.
Okay.
And so you asked me about how to talk to a 10-year-old.
Yes.
There was one I saw earlier today, and it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity.
Yeah.
And that is 1 Timothy 4:12.
Yeah. That's great. Pat, any final things that come to mind?
No, just, you know, like you said, you know, it went from not this isn't for me to, mm-hmm. to going on missions. Like, yeah, I want to go.
Yeah.
And other people have found out that I've been on missions, and there's, when you start talking to people and looking, you see that there's so many different missions available. I mean, mm-hmm. with our church,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even outside our church, we've, there's been a group that has been asking me to go to Croatia as mm-hmm. well to do. They use sports,
right?
You know, there and
is that his print?
His print ministry.
Joe Page, who's a member
Joe
of church.
Page,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that. There's also just like the sign says, once you come out of the parking lot, you're in missions. I mean, you could be at missions at the grocery store. We do it going to the different schools. Mm-hmm. Your next door neighbor.
Yeah.
Just anybody you come in contact, you know.
If someone is becoming more curious about missions, could they approach you and talk to you about it?
Definitely.
Now, will you strong arm them and beat them up over it, or you'll be kind and gentle?
Kind, yeah. Definitely. They'll see a smile on my face, most certainly. I'm yes, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
I get pretty excited when I say excited in a good way, not excited in a bad way, to hear why they're going.
Yeah.
What's the plan? And just remind them to be fluid, mm-hmm. remind them to listen, because that's really, you can be God's vessel. That's really mm-hmm. what it is. So one of the things I learned on my trip the first time I went, when I thought, what could I possibly share?
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow, I will tell you, the Lord provided so many opportunities for me to speak to women, and they were able to open up and speak to me.
Yeah.
And my prayer was, let me be your vessel.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I am not going to remember every verse, whatever I need to do, but it was just amazing that I did remember verses while I was there. Yeah. I did remember stories, and I was able to share those at the proper moment.
Yeah.
So the Lord definitely used me, and it wasn't about Bert. It was about Christ.
Right. Well, thank you for sitting down today and having this conversation. I also want to thank you for listening. And if you've enjoyed this, do us a favor and give us a 5-star review wherever you listen to podcasts. It just makes this easier for people to find, especially people in our congregation. Also, do yourself a favor and subscribe to this podcast, because we will be releasing conversations every month that I think will be helpful and interesting to you. If you have suggestions for other stories, you can contact me, Blake, at grandparkway.org. These are the stories you've missed.